Amen. Well, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Of course, we have a little one about a week old now, a little bit over. And it's an amazing thing. You can't hear me? Psalm 46. Can you hear me now? Good. It's an amazing thing to try to put a newborn into a car seat. If you've ever been there, I mean, it's like, okay, this is on the lowest strap, and there's no way that's like for a baby doll. So you move it up one, and it's like, whoa, this is way too big. And because they just scrunch up, and they're like this. And, you know, having all these guys, it's like, right? But with the little one, it's like, oh, they're so frail, and so I don't want to break them. And so you're being real careful to put their first outfit on them. And it's like, I'm going to shatter their arms. And then you're, I don't know, me. I'm like, I'm going to hurt this little thing, putting him into his car seat. And no, am I the only one that did that? Well, I remember Joseph, the first one, right? And it was awesome trying to put the car seat in for the first time. That is a sight to behold. All these memories came flooding back last weekend, right? And me and my father-in-law and my dad, we stood outside of the hospital for an hour, a solid hour. I wouldn't be telling on myself like this if it wasn't true, trying to put the car seat into the car with my wife in a wheelchair holding our newborn baby kind of in the cold in September, a little chilly, or maybe it was super hot. I can't remember. Either way, she was sitting there like, you're a dummy. She didn't say that. She's very kind and gracious, but I know, and the nurses won't leave you alone. You have to sit there with the baby and hold the baby until the baby's in the car seat in the car. And so they're sitting there patiently. I'm like, man, if that was ever a joke, it was a sight to behold. And then we got him into the car seat, and I've driven lots, not compared to some of you guys who drive trucks, you know, and drive for a living. I've driven a few hundred thousand miles, so I'm okay, but I put this little thing, brand new, into the car, and I forgot how to drive. Do I go? Do I stop? I'm at a stop sign. Do I have enough time? He's a quarter mile down the road. I don't know. I don't want to pull out and kill my kid on the first day, you know? All these memories came flooding back when I put Josiah into the car seat to take him home last Monday or whatever. And so I get this little frail thing into the van, And it did it again. Got him in the van, and I'm pulling out real slow, checking, and like I've just started driving, right? And we're cruising down the road, just glorying in what the Lord had done, giving us another child and a safe delivery and all of that. Well, it's interesting, you probably know this, Monday in the afternoon time, about noon or 1 or whatever time it was, no, it was probably about 4, we're rejoicing, you know, and excited for what God's done for us, heading south on 17, and notice a bunch of lights and sirens, right? And we pass 3 cars that look like at least somebody went home to be either with the Lord or condemned to hell. They died. I don't know. I'm just saying, with all the medical personnel, and they were trying to get somebody out of one of the cars that was off in the woods, and another car was smashed all to pieces, and another car had all of its airbags deployed, and it just hit me. On one side of this street, we're rejoicing, and we're giving glory to God, and we're excited about the blessings and the joy and the wonderful things that He's done for us, how God has changed our life for the better. Till they hit about, you know, 13 or 14 or 15. I'm just kidding. While on the other side of the street, somebody else's life, or many lives perhaps, many families, and again, right near Christmas, was altered for the worse. A day many people, many families won't forget because they lost a loved one or they've been critically injured and they're probably still in the hospital now. Maybe. And it just hit me how frail life can be. We're excited and we're joyful and we're glorifying God. And then on the other side of the street, there's the exact opposite. And I did it, what everybody does. I rubbernecked because I wanted to see. And I got this thought. That could be me next week. I could be on the other side of the street next week. And indeed, I am. My dad's in the ICU because he can't breathe. No, double pneumonia. My mom's stuck at the house. They both got COVID. And I don't say that because of anything, but God is good. All the time, no matter what side of the street you're on, God is good. He can't be anything else. That's his character. That's who he is. God's not evil. He's not vindictive. He's not out to get us. He's not mean. God is just good, but he's also just. Right? And I got to thinking, you know, all of this processing. Slow down. Don't be in such a hurry to move on with life. And of course, that's right around Christmas time, and we left, obviously, 5 minutes before we were supposed to be here for the cantata. Sorry about that. It wasn't planned that way, Brother Jim. Sorry about that. But we had all the hustle and the bustle going on, and you know, we're making things for people and buying gifts and trying to get Christmas situated, and now we have the cantata and trying to plan things with the teens and trying to make plans with family and so on and so forth, and this is happening and that's happening, and we still have shopping and we still got to go here, we still got to go there, got to call so and so. Stop. Stop. And today I want to talk with you. We're all familiar, I would imagine. If any of us have verses in our house, we probably have this one in Psalm 46 and verse 10. And this is what it says. Be still and know that I am God. Now it goes on to say, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But this Christmas season, and I know Christmas is over. It's not ever over though. My mom said, we got COVID. We're going to have to postpone or we're going to have to cancel Christmas. No, you don't ever cancel Christmas. Because the Christ of the Christmas can't be canceled. We live in a canceled culture, right? You're canceled. You can't cancel Christ because he's still the king and he's still on the throne. You just can't do it. I said, you just have to rework some things. But Christmas is all year. It's not one day out of the year. It's 365, sometimes 366 days a year, where we honor and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who would bother to leave the glory of heaven so that we might nail him to a tree, right? We should marvel at that all the time. And here in our passage, he says, be still and know that I am God. So today I want to talk to you about be still. Actually, the title that I gave Brother Rick was Sit Down and Be Quiet. I like that one better. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what side of the street we're on, whether we're experiencing great joy, great blessing, or great trial, great sorrow, God, you're still on your throne. You're still God. You're still good. You're still working, and you still have a plan. God, I know this year has been a year to cause many of us to stand still, to be still, to look up, to realign ourselves with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just learn to sit still in your presence and hear your voice as we heard about earlier, spend time with you, and desire to know your will for our lives specifically. And Lord, we thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen. This is not anything new, obviously, but I just want to talk to you tonight about be still. Be still and know that I am God. In the first part of Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, it's really broken into three sections. And some of the commentators say that this is referring to Hezekiah, okay? And when the Assyrians came in and Hezekiah brought the letter and poured it out before the Lord, right? That whole incident, we're not going to get into that necessarily. But he says this in verse 1. We'll probably read all of it because it's only 11 verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. You know, for some of us, our lives have been turned upside down. You see some of the wording there. Some of us are going through the other side of the street. God's just kind of flipped our life on its head, brought in sickness, brought in injury, brought in bills and more bills, right? And it's like, okay, God, what's going on here? And our life has just been turned upside down. God is our refuge and our strength. And then in verse 2, therefore will we not fear. We have somebody that we can go to no matter what's happening in our life, no matter how bad it is, we have somebody that we can go to and plead with. And I like that, the idea of the refuge. And I think of the cities of refuge, right? What would happen? You guys know, if somebody accidentally, I'm sitting here and I have my Bible and it slips out of my hand and it hits Pastor in the head and kills him. Not on purpose, Pastor, sorry. Right? I got to get out of here. You guys are going to kill me. So I got to flee to the city of refuge. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't hate him. It wasn't premeditated. It just slipped. And I got to get out of there. Boom. Right? And as long as I'm there, you can't touch me. Right? Because it was on accident. I can be tried and judged and all that, but it was an accident. It wasn't on purpose, and I wasn't trying to do any harm, but I did. And so you can't revenge me of blood. Hey, you know, there's safety in that city of refuge. There's a boldness in that city of refuge where as long as I'm there, you can't touch me. And Christ is that city of refuge. As long as we're in Him, nothing can touch us. No punishment and penalty for sin. We don't have anything to worry about. And can we escape Christ? No. But I love that imagery. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I appreciate this. Because while there's so much tumult and so much trial and so much tribulation outside of these walls, when we get near to God, we see He's with us. And He blesses. And so maybe you're doing okay. Life is good. You're excited. Things are going your way. God is good. He's always good. Then he goes on in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And here in this section, so first, maybe your life's been turned upside down. Maybe your life is filled with the blessings and the promises of God. God is good. Here in this one, we know that it's God that did it. Whatever you are going through, whatever you're being blessed with, however you're being helped by God, no, it's not us that did it. He's the one that breaks the bow. He's the one that cutteth the spear in sunder. He's the one that burned the chariot in the fire. He's the one that has all the power in your life and in mine. And it's not us. So when he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God, I want us to look at this first. That's one of the most difficult things for us to do, to just be still. I had contemplated sitting there for about a minute before moving. Isn't this awkward? That's like, what, 4 seconds? It's awkward. When you know something's supposed to be happening and somebody's supposed to be doing something and they're not, and it's just quiet and it's weird. It's what is that word? in Canton. I don't know, who cares? It's frightening sometimes. Uncanny. There you go. It's frightening. Because we know something's supposed to be happening and it's not. We don't like that. But here where he says, be still, he's telling us to do something that's not necessarily in our nature. One guy said it like this, there's a time to obey God and act. But until then, we had better take our hands off and allow him, God, to work in his own time and his own way. Hey, there's a time for us to get busy and there's a time for us to do some things. And he lets us know that. But until he does, don't force God's hand. There's a guy in the Old Testament that did something like that. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. He forced his way. While you're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 13 in verse 8, I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10 in verse 8. And this is what the Bible says. And Samuel's talking to Saul. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. You're going to go down, and you're going to wait for 7 days. 7 days. It's pretty clear. We come to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, this is what would happen to me. I don't know about you guys, but this is exactly what would happen to me. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I had to. Look, Samuel's not doing what he's supposed to do, and the people are scattered, and we have to do something, and what are we going to do? And God's not working, and God's not blessing, and we have to do something, so I force myself. Be still. It's not our job to act and make things happen. It's not our job to get ahead of God. God has a timing. God has a plan. And one person said it like this, give God time to work. That's a good idea. God's working. Let him work. And Saul, because of that, the kingdom shall not continue. But the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. Saul was going to lose the kingdom because he forced himself ahead of God's will. Right? Another instance, I love this. Ever since I heard somebody talk about this, I never caught it until a preacher talked about this. But Mark chapter 9, this makes me chuckle when I think about it. Mark chapter 9, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, right? And he's transfigured there. Mark chapter 9, verse 5. Well, I'll start verse 4. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter gives me great encouragement. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now look at verse 6. This makes me chuckle. Why did he say that? For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. He didn't know what to say, so he opened his mouth and started talking. That's me. I don't know if that's you guys or if you struggle with that, but I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to talk and insert foot into mouth often. right? My wife has been very good and gracious at pulling it out again, you know, wiping it off. Because that's me. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to do something, and I've got to say something. Be still. Oh, if we would just learn to be still. Like I said, we live in a hustle and bustle world, and this is a hustle and bustle time. It's fun to walk around a mall or even Walmart, sit in Subway, and just watch people. Sit inside the mall and just watch people. You know, any store that you want to go to, I don't care where it is. It could be, you know, you don't dine in anymore, really. But just watch people. And you'll see people that are in a hurry to get where they're going. And you'll see people that are coming in the store arguing with one another. If you see me and my wife, it's not her fault completely. So don't judge us too badly, right? You'll see people throwing kids and, you know, pulling them along by the hair and so on and so forth. You'll see all kinds of great things, great sights to behold. And we're just in a hurry to get from here to there and to get everything accomplished and get everything done. And we need to just slow down. My kids, they're guilty of saying, Jeremiah, I just want to be five. I want to be five. You're not five, you're four. No, I want to be five. No, you're four. Enjoy four. You'll get to live a whole year as five. Enjoy it. I was talking with the College and Career the last couple of weeks about this. We get into a bad habit, and we have taught our kids wrong because we're in a hurry to get to the next stage of life, aren't we? I'm four, I want to be five. I'm 11, I want to be 12 so I can go into the youth group. I'm 12 so I want to be 16 so I can start driving. Once I can start driving, that's going to be it. I will have arrived. I'll be a man or a woman by that time, and it's super awesome. And then we realize you got to pay for gas. Okay, when I'm 18, then I can move out cuz I'm a man and I'm my own boss and I know everything. And then you realize, man, I got to move back in cuz I can't afford this. And I told him, I moved out more than once, right? Yeah. It happens. And then you think, oh, if I could just be married. Woo, I'm 18 now and I'm living the dream. But what would really, really make my life complete is if I can get married. And then you realize that a spouse is a person. And they have problems. Like you do. Right? Right? Yeah, it's true. And it's hard sometimes. Well, fine, if we can just have kids, that'll solve all of our problems. And whoo, you get this baby, and it's so sweet in the hospital when they'll watch him for you and bathe them for you. And then they go home, and they don't ever leave. And it's like, what do we do now? And you don't ever get to sleep. I think I can count on two hands, right, the number of good night sleeps I've had in 10 years. Right? Parents, I'm not lying here. And then we say, whoa, kids are hard. I can't wait till they're out of the house. Right? Now I'm old. And I don't have the energy. We're gonna travel the world, honey. But we're broken now. And we're broke. And we're constantly in this state. Well, once I hit 65, boy, I'm taking my Social Security. And now we're really broken, and it doesn't even cover our medical bills. But what we keep doing is, I just can't wait till this next stage, and I can't wait till this next stage, and oh, if I can only be here. And we don't enjoy four. We don't enjoy now. And oh, if we would just slow down and stop, be still, and know that He is the Lord. Right? And just enjoy whatever station of life we are in right now. Just enjoy it. Just live for the Lord. Just love the Lord. And if you're four, or if you're with children, or you're ready for retirement, or whatever it is, enjoy it. Amen. Right? I told the College and Career, it's like we push ourselves to death. We're hurrying to just die. Right? We want to grow up and grow up and grow up. And then once we hit, you know, 30 years old, it's like, man, Social Security, let me just die. Now, I know we're not really, but we just keep pushing that forward. And oh, if we would just be still and know that I am God. Psalm 4:4 says this, you don't have to turn there, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Just be still. It's one of the hardest things that we'll ever have to do is just be still. But it's quite enjoyable, actually. The second thing is this, very simple. Ready? Know that I am God. Know that I am God. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We have a bad habit of taking God's glory from him. So for example, if you're in a time of blessing, work's going good, you're getting in new contracts, you've got lots of business coming in, everybody's paying the invoices that you send to them, and your company has a surplus, and nothing's broken down in your family for a long time, and your car's working great, and all this, and lots of blessings, and God's providing, and God's doing great things, so all you want to do is just brag on God. Hey, that's a great thing. Amen. Brag on God, though. Here's what we do. My work's doing good. I've been working a lot of hours and putting in a lot of time and making a lot of new contacts and getting these contracts in, and we're making a lot of money. And we're doing great. And we're doing this and we're doing that. And we stop giving glory to God. You remember in Luke chapter 12, you could turn there if you'd like. Luke chapter 12. There's a man here who did just that. If your Bible has headings, it might title him The Rich Fool. Because he got and he got and he got and he got and he said, man, look what I've done. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, the Bible says this. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And we can look at the blessings of God sometimes and say, that's what I did. We can look at the graciousness of God and say, I earned that. But God said, be still and know that I am God. We're not God. We didn't have any of the power to do any of that. You think of Hezekiah's day where the Assyrians came against him and he's got that letter. What did he do? He brought that letter to the altar and he laid that thing out before God and said, okay, God, this is what they're saying they're going to do. And I got nothing. I have no power. I have no strength. I have no plan. I have no ability to defeat this army. This is a massive army, God. What are you going to do? Please help. Hezekiah had it right there. He had it really right. Because he recognized, God, I have nothing. You have all the power. He could have said, I'm the king. Let's go get him. And many people did. Contrary to what we just heard of the rich fool, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10 says this. You don't have to turn there. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I'm not preaching on tithing, but it's a way for us to say, God, this is what you've done for me. It's commanded. Tithe is 10%. It is commanded. But it's our opportunity to say, God, you've been so gracious and so good. Here's just a small percent of what you've given to me. I'm giving it back to you, God, because I know that you're able to give much more than this. And that's exactly what he says. You honor me, and you'll not want. You may want steak, but he can give you Spam. Right? By the way, if you're hungry, Spam is the best tasting thing. I went hunting. This had time out. I went hunting one time with my dad. I didn't shoot anything because, anyways. But he cooked up some Spam in like a frying pan over the open fire. And oh my goodness, you would have thought it was filet mignon. Now, it could be that we were just really, really hungry. Right? Okay, time back in. Know that I am God. Even when you're in a time of blessing and increase, give glory to God. But here's also another point. Know that I am God. Don't turn to another. Know that God is God. Jehovah is God. That Jesus Christ is God. And don't turn to another. Don't turn to your spouse, right? Don't turn to your checkbook. Don't turn to your employer. Don't turn to Uncle Sam. Because we'll all fail eventually, right? Because at best, we're men and women. We have faults and failures of our own. God says, turn to him. Be still and know that I am God, because it's only God that can help us. Isaiah chapter 36, if you'll turn there with me. Isaiah 36. Israel had a bad habit of turning to other people, of turning to other nations. Sometimes the kings turned to the Lord and the Lord delivered them. Sometimes the kings of Israel and Judah, they didn't do that. They took matters into their own hands. They acted in haste. They spoke in haste. They did things that they shouldn't have done. They looked to people to help them that they shouldn't have ever looked to. Look at Isaiah 36 and verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. And then it goes on. But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Jerusalem and to Judah, ye shall worship before this altar? I didn't mean to read that. I'm sorry. But it goes on. And here's what he said. Instead of coming to me, you went to Egypt. Instead of coming and pleading before me, you leaned on Egypt. That broken reed. Remember those people that had you in captivity? That I plagued and I put through great trials and I killed the firstborn and all the things that went through in the plagues? You remember them? I brought you out of there. You said you're never supposed to go back there. And you went back there voluntarily to lean on those people, those heathens, when you had me? And time again, that's what happened with Israel. Instead of going to God, they looked to someone else or something else. And here's what we're here reading in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Can I just encourage you with this today? Slow down. Who knows how much longer we have? I'm looking for the rapture. But there's still souls to be saved. We still have loved ones that if, and it could be my little ones. I don't know. God is just, right? God is just. And if I have little ones that haven't placed their faith and trust in Christ, and he comes back, and they've heard, the Bible says that they're going to believe a lie. They're going to be sentenced to hell in the lake of fire forever. That's what the Bible says. I don't like it. But that's what the Bible says. And you and I all have loved ones that if the Lord came back right now, they would be condemned, damned to hell. right? They believe a lie. So enjoy what you have. Make use of the time that you have today to serve him, because we might not have tomorrow. As I was driving down that road, we were excited. Little boy in the back, small and sweet as could be, hasn't learned to say no yet. And yet, right across the street, there was somebody going through great heartache and great anguish, great sorrow. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for us. But we do know this, that God is still good, that God is still in control, that God is still on the throne. And it's our job to just be still and know that he is God. And I would say this as well. If you're here today and you're trusting something else for heaven, God, I've got my own plan on how to get to heaven. I sat in a church pew right back there, as far back as I could get, right? And I heard the preaching of the Word of God. And I said this, my good outweighs my bad, I guess. So I should be okay. And I said this, I've got time. I've got plenty of time. That's not true for everybody, right? Our life is a vapor, right? Appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Love being outside in the cold. I like the cold. I know Pastor doesn't. I like the cold. That vapor's gone just like that, though, right? Right? That's our life in retrospect. And if we're sitting in the pew saying, I've got plenty of time, my good outweighs my bad. Hey, listen, God's not going to, if God's loving, he's not going to send anybody to hell. He can't do that. He's loving, right? No, he's just. And he already paid the way. That's what Christmas was all about. Every single one of us have a sin debt. Boom. We're all guilty. Even that little one that we just had a week ago, he's a filthy, rotten, stinking sinner. Right? It's my kid. He takes after me. So obviously. But he is. He's got a sin nature. And Christ died on the cross for him, just like he died on the cross for every single one of us. And if we're sitting here today saying, well, I'll get there my own way, it's not going to work. Because be still and know that I am God. We can't get there on our own. If you think you have a plan for your own life, I say yield it to him. You're getting ahead of God. Well, God, I've got my 5-year plan. We all should, right? We have a 5-year plan. I've got my 5-year plan. I've got my 10-year plan. And God, get with the program here. Be still. Be still. Father, I thank you for our time here today. And I thank you for this word, just an encouragement. I think of a passage that every single one of us are familiar with, to simply be still and know that I am God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to understand your will, your desire. And Lord, if it is that there's one here that's making their own way to heaven, that's got their own plan for heaven, God, they can't do it. Christ died on the cross. He's the one that paid our sin debt. He's the one that died in our place so that we don't have to experience the judgment of God. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved today, that does not know 100% that they're on their way to heaven, my God, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, maybe there's some of us like Saul who are just busy getting ahead of God. We hate seeing things sitting still and being silent, so we're going to make things happen. Lord God, help us to simply be still. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay. Eyes, bow your head as Miss Kathy plays. If you want to use the altar, the altar's wide open.